Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. This just in, no tapes. Does Trump know how to play these guys or what? He's wiping the court with them, and speaking of courts and Trump, Trump's greatest danger to the progressives is in the court appointments that are upcoming. There are right now 120 vacancies in the federal court that he will be filling. Eric Holder for president? Wow. Thinking about a run against Trump in 2020? Liberal hatred, conservative hatred? What's with all the hate going around? The rhetoric of hate is escalating. Doesn't matter who started it. Doesn't matter who is the greater offender. Why does it matter at all? Can anything be done about it? And if so, what? And is it contributing to, for example, this latest effort to massacre a field of Republican representatives? Dems complain Trump rhetoric ruined Obamacare. Who are the winners and who are the losers with Obamacare? Will the Senate bill pass? Can conservatives get more of what they want from the Senate to end Obamacare? What does the Senate bill do that the House bill did not? In terms of ending Obamacare, is the Senate bill stronger or weaker? Do conservatives opposing the Senate bill understand the limits of reconciliation? How about you? I think Americans are becoming more politically savvy, which is good for conservatives and bad for progressives. Why would that be? 5.7 million non-citizens voted, I think, in the past election or what? Anyway, the MSM and the DEMs, or the Dems, seem to be very concerned about allegations that the Russians influenced our election, but not at all concerned about Mexico's election tampering. You know, 82% of these admitted that they voted for Obama. Some must be referring back to when he was elected. By the way, registrations are coming in for the November 3rd Lights On Banquet. Thank you to all who have registered already. And I want the rest of you to get the Patriots discount. So you need to register for the Lights On Banquet November 3rd, and you need to register before July 4th. So go to santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the banquet button. You'll see at the top right of the menu bar on top of the page there. Complete the form that pops up. You'll get $10 off per plate or per seat. And this is going to be the best ever Lights On Banquet. You know, with a gun and gun clinger home defense kit. I mean, the works. Now, I realize I keep putting off the formal announcement. And friends, that's because I'm trying to secure a speaker for this event. And I'm waiting to hear back from his office. You know, I really like Assemblyman Patterson. He represents the 23rd District, and I like him for a lot of reasons. But one is the inspiring speech he gave on the remnant, that God always has a remnant. Anyway, I wanted to introduce him to you and you to him. And so I've extended an invitation for him to attend. And we're in the process here, and I'm waiting to hear back for a confirmation. I hope to bring Julie Bischoff to the Lights On Banquet November 3rd. She's spearheading an effort to expose voter fraud in California. And she's got something to say on that topic that's worth hearing. So as soon as I get confirmation for all of this, I'll start formally promoting the event. But if we're going to have the event, my friend, and all my friends need to register by July the 4th. I'm telling you, the brain massage being prepared for that event is going to be over the top awesome and is guaranteed to have your lights on high beam. With all the hype aside, I look forward to seeing you. So register right away. Don't miss out on the Patriots discount, $10 off per plate. And that gives you entry into the drawing and all the rest of the goodies and all kinds of favors will be presented. And yeah, we've got a couple of free frontline memberships available also again this year. So I'm looking, it's going to be a great, great event. And that's $10 off every plate, but you need to register by July 4th. The registration is not complete until payments received, of course. Okay, my dear friends. It is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
This just in, no tapes. Remember, Trump didn't say there were tapes. He tweeted only that Comey had better hope there weren't any audio tapes of their conversations. He let Comey and company squirm and twist in the wind and so on under that, and the MSM salivate over the possibilities here. No doubt they can almost smell the dirty sewer waters of Nixon's Watergate. Speculation increased, no doubt, with every passing day, as the MSM and the Dems both wondered what Trump had on Comey and what the tapes might reveal that they could get on Trump. Anyway, finally, Trump comes out and tells the whole world that he doesn't know of any tapes of the conversations that he had with Comey. But, you know, with all of Obama's illegal wiretapping to private citizens and the unmasking of identities of private citizens, setting them up as political targets, all of this for political reasons, you know, using the NSA to run surveillance on private American citizens. Yeah, the Obama administration practices surveilling, arguably violating our Fourth Amendment rights. So, you know, with all that going on, Trump says, who knows if the conversations were taped? Could have been. You got to love it. And you know what's beautiful about this is it doesn't even have to have been something necessary that Trump plotted out, you know. I mean, it's easy to imagine him wondering if there were any tapes of the conversations and challenging Comey in this obtuse way to kind of come out with them, you know, confident that any such tapes would expose Comey as a phony he has proved to be. And on that point, by the way, when I say things like phony baloney Comey, okay, it's because the guy is a phony. And that I can show reasons supporting that allegation. And it is absurd to equate something like that with liberals presenting stage plays where the character playing Caesar is purposely made to look like Trump being stabbed to death on stage every night of the performance. Of that play. Or more recently, Johnny Depp, you know, suggesting that maybe it's time for another actor to assassinate a president. How long has it been since an actor did that? Of course, he's referring to that actor John Wilkes Booth who murdered Abraham Lincoln. And of course, he's suggesting that perhaps it's time some actor should assassinate Trump. It's been a while, you know. What's that about? Or to equate my occasional forays, I'm using that word on purpose, look it up, into the Democrat world of hate-filled rhetorical flack that they fire at conservatives nonstop. I mean, like the present nonsense of alleging that Republicans want people to die so the rich can get richer. I mean, right? While their president, Obama, spent $99,714,527 and don't forget the 82 cents on family vacations during his tenure on the taxpayer's dime. I mean, it's beyond insulting, this stuff. It has crossed over into defamation and slander. And I wonder if we shouldn't start approaching it that way. It's absurd for progressives to pretend that my playful and relatively soft counterpunches do anything more than tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, we're listening to this nonsense that you guys are spitting out of your mouth, brothers. A ploy purposed to provoke them to object in order to provide an opportunity to encourage reflection on their part on their own behavior. Counselors call it mirroring. Just consider Dr. Scheidbach's counseling you see. My friend, it's absurd to liken lighthearted banter, albeit sometimes stinging, no doubt, but hardly more than annoying and never fatal to character or threatening to anyone's person or property, that's for sure, to the Dems turning the shooting and attempted murder of a Republican majority whip and the wounding of four others. Hunted by this fiend, by the way, this fella, who had a hit list of Republicans he intended to assassinate. And the Dems turned this into a fundraising opportunity, you know, playing on the sympathies of those who have some appreciation for the angst of the shooter. Huh? I mean, and then after the progressive shooter shot to kill, but only critically wounded, the Republican congressman at the park in Virginia, Democratic political strategist James Devine, a 35-year veteran of Democratic politics, by the way, working campaigns for progressives such as New Jersey Assemblyman James Kennedy and State Senator Raymond Lesniak, launches a hashtag, actually two hashtags, one of them hashtag hunt Republicans and the other hashtag hunt Republican congressmen, and did so with this statement, quote, we are in a war with selfish, foolish, and narcissistic rich people. Why is it a shock when things turn violent? End quote. By the way, Mr. Devine justified this latest revelation of the murderous heart of liberals by saying, quote, I am sorry if my hashtag hunt Republican congressman hashtag hurt the feelings of any GOP snowflakes, but you have not engaged in civil discourse. End quote. Really? So there it is. Because GOP snowflakes have not, in his opinion, engaged in civil discourse, he is justified to justify the attempted murder of the Republican majority whip. The amount of rhetorical abuse the left has perpetrated upon the right in this country, my friend, is truly overwhelming. We have been accused of wanting to starve old people, feed them dog food. Yeah, this has been going on since Reagan, and really even before, but it really got revved up during Reagan's years. To kill children, to destroy the planet, to poison the water, to kick the sick to the curb. And it goes on and on and on. When they know the truth is, we care about all of these things as much as they do. It's just that we have a different way of approaching solutions, different approaches to addressing these concerns. But, you know, like I brought out in last week's brain massage, these people on the left are not easily entreated. And the Bible says that wisdom from above is easily entreated. And so conversely, then, wisdom from below is not. And of course, that proves their wisdom is that which comes from below. So you see, there's no debating them at this point, it seems. You either agree with what they want to do about these problems and the way they want to do it, or else. It isn't enough that you might agree on the problem. You must agree with their solution to the problem, or else you are the problem. That's the way they think. And they go off with you're racist. You know, you want the poor to die. And of course, they stand there with the blood of millions of innocent, poor little babies on their hands. So many of them. The more I look at all of this, the more convinced I become that Rush is right. There truly is no common ground remaining between the two sides in our currently polarized political milieu. It appears that one side at least has become murderous. I agree that the Second Amendment applies to all Americans, progressive or conservative, but isn't it odd that the people who want to take guns out of the hands of conservatives are very often the same people who want to use guns to kill them? I think that should be something that concerns us. Selah. Let's see now. Do I have time to... No. I better go on to break right now. Hold on through the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. Your host for the Brain Masseur Radio podcast show and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The repeal of Obamacare is the focus of our attention right now, and well, it should be. And the frustration conservatives are having with this, well, is that, as a matter of fact, that is not what the GOP is doing? Well, I mean, well, at least not directly. We've been over this before, but it's time to refresh our memory. First, here is a summation of our problems with Obamacare from the experts on healthcare from the Heritage Foundation, one of my favorite conservative think tanks, by the way. Quote, Obamacare produced escalating premiums and higher deductibles. It also reduced access to insurers and providers. This has particularly hurt the self-employed and people who work for small businesses, end quote. And that, my friend, is a fair summation with one glaring problem. And really, I do believe our friends at Heritage would agree with me. The fundamental thing that is being missed in this dialogue, in this conversation, is that government has no business providing health care in the first place. Government's business is to ensure laws are enforced that protect the rights of the people to live free of coercive government oppression and to protect them from criminal activity of evildoers. That's Romans 13, 1-6. That never seems to be the focus of anyone's comments on this problem. But be that as it may, Heritage has effectively summarized how ineffective the government has been in attempting to replace free market capitalism with government socialism, okay? The GOP has the majority in both houses of Congress. However, they do not enjoy a supermajority. And additionally, they are not 100% united around a genuinely conservative set of core principles. Therefore, a straight run up the middle with the repeal Obamacare football tucked ever so snugly under the carrying arm, such a drive would almost certainly be stopped by a Democratic defense, wall of defense, called the filibuster, which requires then a supermajority to overcome. Now, we don't have a supermajority, and that means we would need 67 votes to pass legislation in the Senate, when otherwise we would only need a simple majority or 51 votes. And since we have 51 Republicans, and then they're not all on the same page when it comes to what needs to be done about Obamacare. There are some Republicans who believe government ought to be in the business of providing health care. It's possible, in other words, that even if we had a supermajority, that there aren't enough Republicans to push through the filibuster and get the repeal and replace Obamacare football into the end zone. The point is, the reality of our situation is, well, it is what it is. Personally, I think a very aggressive grassroots campaign with full use of our alternate routes available to the people via Twitter, Facebook, the internet generally, and other means, along with the alternate media and a well-orchestrated whipping up of Trump supporters with him out there speaking to this and some rallies and so on with a straightforward appeal directly to the American people to support a repeal and replace with a program that actually gets government out of the way and allows free market capitalism to work its magic. And that is, my friend, the best way to go. Listen, folks, I trust the ingenuity of American entrepreneurialism and free market capitalism with the task of coming up with a healthcare option where the people are free to choose than giving government control over our choices. I trust free markets far more than enslaving government. I trust freedom politics more than feed'em politics. I trust a free market where individuals have freedom to offer an honest product and the people the freedom to buy what they want more than I trust politicizing healthcare. Keep these things in the hands of a free people. That is sadly not the prevailing wisdom in the GOP right now. They believe they need to approach this with political savvy, with the usual sort of political system manipulation. And they're addicted to this, my friends. They simply don't know any other way. But that's the way it is. So they want to use a political maneuver, you know, by capitalizing on a rule that the Senate can alter an existing bill with only a majority vote. It's called reconciliation, you know, where features of an existing legislation can be altered to accommodate certain perceived problems that are in the existing legislation without needing a supermajority to pass the impediment of a filibuster. Now, this limits what they can do. For example, they cannot repeal Obamacare. So really, that's not even what's being tried here. It's a reconciliation bill, not a repeal bill, because they cannot repeal Obamacare through the reconciliation process, but they can amend it. And within certain limits, they can add to it and even use language, plant some language in it that would effectively, well, place some poison in it that they hope would kill it eventually. And that's the approach that they've decided to take. The House prepared a reconciliation bill and they passed it. The Senate went behind closed doors to settle on what they thought might be acceptable to the conservatives and the not so conservatives within the Republican Party right now. You know, the Gopher moderates, the hubris of the Democrats on this matter, by the way. We all remember how they, that is the Democrats, railroaded Obamacare into law. Everyone remembers the outlandish statement by Pelosi explaining why the Dems then would not reveal the details of their law, even though Obama specifically and expressly promised we would see these things 72 hours in advance. Do you remember all this? Remember this? It was because we have to pass the law in order to learn what is in it. I mean, no one is so brain dead that they could not hear the inanity of that comment. I mean, not even voters with such low information about politics that they would vote for Pelosi could possibly have failed to see through that, well, nonsense. But now they cry foul when the Republicans decide. Now, let's get the truth on this. When they decide to go behind closed doors to craft the bill they wanted to present to the Senate for deliberation. They didn't just drop it on their desk the night before it's supposed to be voted on. They put the bill together and then they present it and how it can be, you know, discussed and hammered out and all that kind of stuff. They revealed it in plenty of times for the Dems and everybody else to read it. It's just too much. How the honest, hardworking people in the Democratic Party can possibly stomach this is just beyond me. But let's look at this Senate version of the rename and alter government health care bill. I agree, the Senate bill does need to go further than it does. The Senate bill, as with the House bill, removes the individual mandate and the employer mandate. That's good. Both of them remove limitation on age rating parameters. Or in other words, it allows the insurance companies to establish rates based on realities related to health care needs of groups according to their age. It allows states to apply for waivers from other onerous Obamacare insurance mandates, including the requirement that plans cover specified, quote, essential health benefits, end quote. And that's the language in which you find a requirement to fund abortion, contraceptives, even transsexual operations, nonsense like that, and to provide minimum actuarial value, an actuarial value of 60%, which is, frankly, kind of difficult to explain in a simple way. Essentially, it is that the total average cost that a plan will cover will be at least or a minimum of 60% on average, though. For more information about that, go see Billy Joe Crivello at Crivello Insurance. She'll straighten you out on that. So both plans address these concerns. However, the Senate waiver plan provides broader scope than the House version did. The Senate version does not, quote, create enough incentives for continuous coverage, either directly or by permitting states to use the waiver process to adopt such provisions on their own, end quote. Now, of course, I'm coming at this from the point of view I expressed earlier, that the government needs to get out of the way and to allow free market forces to, you know, to motivate insurance entrepreneurs to find ways to address this customer demand, right? You know, demand and supply. If there's a demand for this in the marketplace, somebody's going to come up with a way to address that demand and make some money on it. Allow the free market to address it. So you see, it's frustrating to some of our conservative senators because it does not do enough to relieve Americans who are under the onerous burden that has been thrown on them by this Obamacare fiasco. And here's why. I think by now you understand that there are some people who have benefited immensely from Obamacare. Somebody's going to get hurt if they change Obamacare, who was helped by it. And so it gets to a deeper, more fundamental question than simply trying to help or hurt. You have to get more to the core principles of whether the government is the one responsible for all of this kind of thing. The people who benefit from Obamacare are publicly traded health stocks, insurance companies, mostly hospitals, information technology suppliers, consultants, lobbyists, lawyers, bureaucracy, pharmaceutical companies and unions, some providers of health care, and certain patients, particularly those below the income threshold that qualifies them to get major subsidies from the government to cover the costs that have been pressured upward on everybody else because of this Obamacare nonsense. In other words, you know, that sudden 100% to 300% increase in your premiums so many of you experience caused by Obamacare are offset upon some by the government subsidies. And my point here is that some in the Senate are concerned about the people who have benefited from Obamacare losing their benefit. They want to try to find a way to make sure everybody comes out smelling like roses, and it's simply not going to happen for reasons I'll have to explain in another show. Let me try to make it sort of simple. Here's the deal. Obamacare regulations have put insurers in the position to profit most from all of this. By government fiat, the insurance companies are virtually guaranteed a 15% profit, a 15% return. Now, that's pretty good. It works like kind of like a minimum wage in reverse. The government has said insurance companies cannot structure their products so as to make more than 15% profit. So what happens? Every insurance company structures their products so that they are guaranteed a 15% return because that's what they get to do. And that's why you're earning maybe 1 or 2% on your money, but be that as it may. because of rules like, you know, they must provide continuous coverage. They cannot deny coverage to someone for prior issues. They can't rate according to health condition or age, stuff like this. Well, obviously, the companies are forced to increase their rates, and they will increase them all the way up to their 15% profit limit. But if those prices get so high, people start bailing out, won't buy them. And they feel some security because they know the government is going to make the people buy these products or go on the Obama dole. And then in that case, they'll get subsidized from the government so that they are virtually guaranteed a 15% return. And so you're stuck with higher premiums, a healthcare provider crisis, because again, it's the insurance companies, most of all, that are making out. The providers are stuck trying to find a way to stay in business in an environment very hostile to their business. The people most hurt are the small business owners and the middle class. The rich are a little impacted by this sort of thing, and the poor are subsidized. Everyone in the middle, once again, is expected to carry it all on their backs. It's oppression. And the problem with how the gopers are approaching this is that it continues the basic fundamental error that government is the answer rather than the problem. A few of our conservative champions in the Senate are fighting for us. I think it's Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and who's the other guy? Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. These four are holding out and fighting for a better deal. Now we'll see. Trump has said effectively the bill is now ready for negotiation. So obviously he expects the Senate to grapple with this thing some more. And he hopes, as we all hope, they'll come up with a bill that he can sign soon. What is my disposition on all of this? Well, I've made it clear. Government needs to get out of the way and let we the people take care of ourselves while they take care to protect us from crime, from molestation of our person and property, and from enemies, foreign and domestic, and not become the molesters of our person and property and become the enemies of the people. But the battle that is before us immediately is how much ground can we gain on the current battlefield. And so I hope Cruz, Paul, and Lee, and Johnson, with Trump's support, can work a better deal, send it to Trump's desk for a signature, and let's get moving on this issue, and then go after the rest of it, okay? Now, I do understand there are some provisions in the Senate bill that will undermine Obamacare over time and finally kill it. That's what I've been told, and I think I see it in the language of the bill. I think a swift death to tyranny is best, however. You know, it's off with your head, just done. But if you have to poison that monster, and I'm talking about a piece of legislation here, not a human being. You understand what I'm saying? But if you have to poison that monster called Obamacare and then watch it die a slow death, well, it's just that I'd rather take the sword of the spirit and lop off its head. Well, like I say, I won't have time to discuss what is clearly Trump's greatest danger to progressives and greatest benefit to conservatism for many, many years to come. And that is the opportunity he has in front of him right now to fill 120 vacancies in the federal courts. Nor will I have time to discuss what we've learned recently about voter fraud. We've learned that about 6 million, that's 5.7 million non-citizens voted in past elections. The MSM and the Dems seem to be very concerned about allegations that the Russians influenced our election, but not at all concerned about Mexico's election tampering. 82% of these admitted that they voted for Obama. Talk about an election that was tampered with. And so we come back to the immigration problem. I'm going to speak to what the Bible says about receiving strangers into our land, or what the Bible says about immigration. Sunday night at the Lighthouse, 6 p.m. at Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Santa Maria. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. You do that by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. You'll see a place there to connect with me. Write me a note. Let me know what you think about the show today, or ask me whatever question you might have. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.